My friend, have you ever been at wit's end? I am Pastor Schulze with the Call to Obedience Radio Ministry. This program comes to you every week at this time over the station. So my subject matter is being at wit's end. The scriptures are from Psalm 107, 25 through 27. Here it says, "For he commandeth, and raiseth a stormy wind, which lifteth up the waves thereof. They mount up to the heaven, they go down again to the depths. Their soul is melted because of trouble. They reel to and fro, and stagger like a drunken man, and are at their wit's end." Have you ever come to wit's end? Have you ever come to a point in your life where you saw no escape from your troubles? Have you ever been in a place where wave after wave of trouble has rolled over you, bringing you to total exhaustion physically, mentally, and spiritually? Where trying to get yourself out of trouble was of no avail? Are you perhaps even now drifting hopelessly and aimlessly in an unsettled sea of despondency? My friend, take courage. Millions have been in such a sea before you, saved and sinners alike, and millions have lived to say, "I cried unto the Lord in my trouble, and he brought me out of my distress." By the grace of God, we will survive. The history of the Church of Jesus Christ is a history of wit's ends. Go through both the Old and New Testament. Can you number the many times when Israel and the apostles were at wit's end? So if this is the first time you are at wit's end, it is indeed high time for you to be there. If this is your second or third time, you have learned that it becomes easier each time. The city of wit's end is a city of complete trust. It is a city of God's design. God wills it. Therefore, you must not fear. This city is indispensable for building character, for refining the soul, for shedding all unnecessary, ungodly attachments. It will boil out the debris that is settled on your soul, making you a non-witness for Christ and quenching the fire you once had. All your worldly attachments must be incinerated by the fire of the Holy Spirit. At your wit's end, you're forced to sit and rest and adore the nail-scarred feet of Jesus. There he will strip away from you all that is superfluous, and all that burdens your soul and quenches your spirit. Yes, friend, he wants you undistracted from the chatter and clutter of the world. Jesus wants you there, at his feet, where it is just he and you and nothing else. He wants to teach you what to hold on to and what you need to let go of. He will get you back to the basics. Oh, how easily we unconsciously slip from business with the Lord to business about the Lord, from hot to lukewarm. It is at the city of wit's end where we discover that all that matters is God and that which is attached to him. It is here where we come from serving God also to serving God only, and truly knowing the difference. Indeed, it is here at the city of wit's end where we begin our journey to the kingdom of God. My friend, do not despise the city of wit's end, for it is a way to the city of God. And there is no finer, no nobler, no grander place, no place more sublime, no place more sacred than that city. It is here where the angels ascend and descend, ministering to you in holy fellowship with God. Of course, if you are new to the city of West End, it may be scary. You may say with the psalmist, "My days are consumed like smoke, and my bones are burned as an earth. My heart is smitten and withered like grass, so that I forget to eat my bread. I am like an owl of the desert. I watch and am as a sparrow alone upon the housetop." Or you may feel totally disconnected from God and say with Job, "Oh, that I knew where I might find him." The city of Wit's End is not an easy place to be. How much it shakes you depends on the depth of your root system. If your roots do not reach the deep divine springs, the agony can be overwhelming. So here is where we reap what we have been sowing all along. Neglect in prayer, neglect in meditation, neglect in the reading of the Word. Disobedience in witnessing, being too busy with all kinds of things, trying to get ahead to make our nest, our earthly nest, more comfortable, and giving too little to the Lord. It is here where we finally must agree with Martin Luther's song, "A Mighty Fortress Is Our God," where it says, "Let goods and kindred go, this mortal life also, the body they may kill, God's truth abideth still, his kingdom is forever." It is here at the city of Wit's End where Jesus meets us and bids us to trust him entirely, to follow him. It is here where we either go with him on his terms, or we say, "We will not have this man rule over us," and start on the way to perdition. There is no playing around here. There's no room for pretending here. There's no place here for negotiations. There's only a place here for total surrender. Nothing less than that will get us out of the city of West End. Now, enough of theology. Let's get practical. Let us get down to the what must we do then once we are in that city. When Peter preached his sermon at Pentecost, the people wanted to know, what shall we do? So the first advice to God's people on the birthday of the church was, repent. It was not a suggestion, but a trumpet call from God. Friend, this is the first thing you must do to get out of the city of Wit's End. Clean out, clean up, and change course. You must add prayer to that. You must add fasting also. You have heard those things from me before, but today I want to propose an additional powerful tool to get you out of that city. It's called Start Singing Praises. This is indeed what they did after repenting and praying. They began to praise the Lord. So we need four legs to this stool, not three. Do not stop short of singing a song. Keep singing and never quit. Sing your way all the way to heaven. But especially sing wholeheartedly in the dark. Truly, it is in the dark where your melody becomes the sweetest and your song the most inspiring. We have no better example of this than that of our Lord Jesus. At the end of the first Lord's Supper, Judas had gone out into the dark night to betray his master. Yet in this darkest night in human history, Jesus called for a hymn to be sung. He refused to get into a pity party. He refused to dwell on the negatives. Nothing good comes out of a negative spirit. Two of the finest discourses of the Bible came out of that spirit of praise in that dark night. Jesus' discourse on the vine and the branches and on the Holy Spirit. Friend, let me ask you, what are you producing in your darkest hours? So, you must learn to sing in the dark, acting as if God is still alive, as if God still cares for you, acting as if God has a way of escape for you. Do you understand? If you don't sing in the city of Wit's End, it is proof that your faith is dead and that your God is left the planet. Evangelist Lorne Helm said that praise is the very breath of trust, and where there's no praise, trust is choked to death. You see, praise and trust are in a symbiotic relationship. Neither can survive without the other. If one dies, the other dies also. Therefore, praise, spoken or sung, is not a choice, something you do when you feel like it. It is a discipline to do and never to abandon. The book of Psalms can be expressed in one single word: sing. Heaven also is nothing but joyful adoration. And was not this the problem with the three friends that came to comfort Job? Yes, they came to comfort, but they only increased his misery because they failed to bring a song. Job needed a young man like David who sang for his king. He sang about depression. In addition, we have the example of Paul and Silas. They came to their wits' end, and yet they sang praises in the midnight hour. Finally, let us not forget how God delivered entire nations through his song. In 2 Kings 3, Israel and Judah went to war against Moab. When Israel was at wits' end because they could not find water, Elisha called for a minstrel, a musician. And while a song was being sung, the Holy Spirit gave the revelation for the way of escape. God says, dig ditches. They dig ditches, and God filled the ditches with water and saved Israel's army. Or when Israel was about to be attacked by a great multitude beyond number, King Jehoshaphat was afraid. He was at wits' end. The nation gathered together for fasting and prayer. They said, neither know we what to do, but our eyes are on thee. God told them to face the enemy with singing, and they received a great victory. When you are at wits' end, sing a song. This has been the sign of victory in the church from time immemorial. When believers were saved, they sang a song. When they were forbidden to preach the gospel, they sang a song. Oh, my friend, they learned to sing. If you are in the city of wits' end, sing a song, and it will not be long until you shall find a way of escape, a revelation or word of comfort from Christ will come your way. Indeed, will not be long, and you will be on your way to the city of holy contentment. God inhabits the praises of his people. Sing and show a cold disregard for your feelings. Just sing. Our Heavenly Father, we're thankful for these many, many scriptures from Genesis all the way through to the book of the Revelation that admonishes us to be a singing people, not to look at the circumstances, not to look at the problems, not to add them up and turn them over and over and mull them over them in our heads and think of them at night. You have called us to look to you, to your beautiful face, and to all that you have done and can do and will do, and sing. Sing with those in heaven. Sing with those, Lord God, who are on the mountaintops, and it won't be long, we'll be there with them. So God, I pray for those who are afflicted, in trouble, depressed, discouraged, at wits' end at this time. I pray, Jesus, that you will bring this message into their hearts and that you help them to do it, to sing a song. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm Pastor Schulze with the Call to Obedience radio ministry. Tune in again at the same station at the same time, and goodbye now until then.